Hey, it's Patrick Regan here. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Kintsugi Hope, a charity that's trying to bring create safe and supportive spaces for those struggling with emotional and mental health challenges. And it's absolutely brilliant to be with you. We've got a number of resources that may or may not help. I've written a book called Honesty Over Silence. It's okay not to be okay. Really trying to lift the lid on some of the really unhelpful theology around emotional mental health and looking at things around anxiety and depression and just asking for much more real and authentic conversation. When Faith Gets Shaken, which is asking the question, where is God in the midst of suffering? And then lastly, something I found really, really helpful is this journal. And you can just write in it every day. There's Bible verses and inspirational quotes. I know loads of people have been doing that during lockdown. That's been a really helpful thing for them. I want to start by telling you a story. It's a very famous story, so you may have heard it before. And it's from India. And a guy who basically was a water bearer. He had two massive pots. One had a crack in it. And each day he would gather water from the stream and he'd begin his long walk home. The whole pot carried the water all the way home very successfully. But the pot with a crack in it basically leaked out half of the water. And after a number of years of doing this, the cracked pot said to its owner, I feel so ashamed. I'm only doing half the job. The other pot is far more successful. And the owner said, next time, look at your side of the path. I put you on one side of the path on purpose. Because I know of your flaws, the water leaks out. What I have done is I've planted flower seed there. And so the next day, the pot noted this beautiful row of flowers, whereas the pot that was whole, there was nothing there at all. And you know, so often we need to realize that beauty comes from brokenness, that broken parts of our lives are not something to be ashamed of. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, I love the way Paul talks about this. He says that, but we have treasure in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know, in New Testament times, a jar of clay, what they used to do is they used to use the thinnest material possible. So actually, it would crack a little bit in the kiln. And the cracks, what they do is they allow the light to get out. So what they would do is they would stick a lamp in the pot and the light would shine out through the cracks. In other words, the jars were created to be vulnerable so the light could shine through. Isn't it amazing that when you think about it, that God created us to be fragile? And I've been thinking a lot about that. Why? Well, in Corinthians it says it's actually so that God's power, that our power, his power is made perfect in our weakness, that it can go through us. And actually, when we are a little bit more broken, I guess, I feel like we're a little bit more human, a little bit more normal, a little bit more genuine, authentic, integrity. And I think that speaks volumes to people around us. I don't think people want necessarily to hear success story after success story, us trying to sell Jesus to people. That actually people relate to our scars and not just our success stories. That they want us to be human, not just salesmen for Jesus, that have a hidden agenda somewhere. Paula Gooder, the New Testament theologian, says this. She says, Paul's point in 2 Corinthians is that our cracked, imperfect exteriors, in this instance in particular, are nothing to be ashamed of. They are vital. A well-glazed pot keeps the light in. Only a pot riven with cracks can shine God's light in the world. The crack lets the light out. As Christians, we are not called to be perfect. We are called to be the ones with our cracks and imperfections, knowing that God's glory will shine through the cracks into the world around us, and the gold of God's love will mend our brokenness into something far more beautiful than it was before. You see, to be honest takes courage and it takes vulnerability. And for many of us, what we are, we're all desperate to belong. We all need that sense of belonging. We need to sense that being part of something. But you know, for many of us, I think that we've tried, we've mistaken belonging with fitting in. We've tried to fit in with everyone else. And yet sometimes we can be in church, we can be in other places, and we just feel lonely. We feel lonely in a crowd. And that's because I think we're confused that belonging and fitting in are two very different things. And actually, to belong is what we need you to be, is more you. We need you to be authentic, to be truly seen for who you are. Belonging is being authentically known. You know, it's interesting. Brené Brown says this: belonging is being accepted for you. Fitting in is being accepted for being like everyone else. Fitting in is exhausting. Belonging is life-giving. We run these Kintsugi Hope Wellbeing Groups. You would have heard about them. They're happening all over the country, supporting people with their emotional mental health. And in our group, I remember we got to the week on healthy relationships. And Diane, who was running the group, said, I want you all to write down your biggest fear on a bit of paper. Put it in an envelope. It's anonymous. And then we're going to put the envelopes on a bit of tape on the table. And everyone's going to take a different envelope. And then we're going to read them out. And so we said, well, this could be amazing. So what we decided to do is write our biggest fear and put it on the envelope. And we were all a bit nervous, but it was anonymous, so it was all good. First person read out their fear. And the biggest fear was, health anxiety. Second person had also put health anxiety. And we went around. There's about 10 of us there. Four of us, including me, had written health anxiety. And then after it got to me, I went, have any of you done that thing where you get a headache and you Google it and then you think you've suddenly got a brain tumor? You go to Dr. Google for a diagnosis. And everyone was, yeah, I've done that. And we started laughing about it. It was a bit of dark humor, to be honest. But actually, there's a sense of, you guys really know me now. I feel like I belong to this group and I don't have to fit in. I don't have to have all the answers. I want to stop fitting in to earn other people's approval. I want to be in a place that actually I'm going to be more authentic. And I know for that, I need to learn to let go of quite a lot of stuff. And that's part of life, actually, is learning to let go. I've got a little illustration here. This is how to trap a monkey, which I know is going to become very useful in your community. But basically, the way you trap a monkey is you get a coconut. You put a hole in the coconut. And you tie the coconut to a tree. And what happens is you put some food in the coconut and the stupid monkey comes along, right? And he puts his hand in the coconut and it grabs the food. Now, to get free, the only thing that the monkey has to do is let go. And it'll be free. But as the hunter creeps up, do you know what the monkey tries to do? It struggles even more. It will not let go. And the hunter suddenly gets the food. What a stupid monkey. Well, maybe I'm a little bit like the monkey. Maybe I need to let go of ego trying to impress other people. Maybe I need to let go of my inner critic that just tends to beat me up and tells me I should, I must, I ought to be better. Maybe I need to let go of what I think success is all about. You know, I had a friend who's a police officer who had a nervous breakdown and he had to let go of the lie that tells him what is weak and what is strong. I have a friend who's single and childless in her 40s. She's had to let go of the pressure society puts on people to be married and start families. I've had friends who've lost their children to suicide. They've had to let go of questioning whether they could have done more. Sheila Walsh says this, I think it's really interesting. She says, be still and know that I am God. The original Hebrew root meaning for be still doesn't mean be quiet. It means let go. That's very different, don't you think? Let go and know that I am God. Let go of trying to control your spouse. Let go of worrying about your finances. Let go of unforgiveness. Let go of your past. Let go of what you can't control and rest in the knowledge that God is in control. Some of you may have seen the film The Great Showman. Now, the film The Great Showman, I resisted going to see it for years because I was like, it stars Hugh Jackman. I call him Hugh Jackman because he's big. And he's like Wolverine in the X-Men, right? I don't want to see Wolverine sing. That should not be allowed. Yeah, it's a bit like when Pierce Brosnan, when he was James Bond and he was in Mamma Mia. James Bond singing, actually, he should never be allowed to sing. That should be a rule against it. And so I was reluctant to go and see it. And everyone was talking about it. And then one morning I woke up and Diane's like looking at it on YouTube on her phone. I thought, you're worse than the kids, for heaven's sake. And she's like, you got to watch this. And it wasn't actually from the film. It was a rehearsal for the film. And it was the woman who played the bearded lady. If you don't know the story, it's about a guy called P.T. Barnum. And somehow he gathers this unusual bunch of people around him, people that don't feel like they fit in anywhere, actually. The too big, the too large, the too tall, the too small, people with unique talents. And he does, he creates a sense of belonging where they can belong, but they don't have to fit in. And they start putting on this incredible show, but there's a sense of shame about who they are. And there's this one bit in the film where the woman who's going to sing the song, the show's anthem, This Is Me, she's basically singing it for the first time in front of everyone. And she's standing behind this music stand, and she's terrified. And the whole song is about, is about not being full of shame, is stepping out of shame, owning yourself, owning your story. And the producer's trying to encourage her to get away from the music stand, but she stands there almost terrified, singing the song. She gets halfway through the song, and she realizes that she has to embrace this. So she steps away from the music stand. She steps into the middle. And I don't know what happens. You can watch it on YouTube. It's amazing. She turns around to the backing singers, and they start to really go for it. And then she turns around. She's like a different person. It's almost like, yeah, this is who I am. I'm embracing who I am. I'm going to go for it. And it's almost like it's just an incredible explosion of joy. As she got towards the end of the song, she starts to feel really vulnerable again. So she turns to Hugh Jackman, and she grabs his hand. She doesn't grab it for long. She grabs it for a little bit. And then she starts to sing again. And, as I was watching that, I felt God say to me, Patrick, it's time to step away from the music stand. I was like, what? You've got to be who you really are. Stop trying to be all things to all people. Stop trying to impress everyone. Just be authentically you. You're broken, but that's okay. That's how my light gets through. That's what Paul says in Corinthians. And it hit me so hard. But, she felt a little bit scared, and I feel a little bit scared at times doing this, writing books on this subject. It freaks me out a little bit. But I know, just like she grabs Hugh Jackman's hand, it's like, actually, God, you don't leave me on my own, isolated. I can grab you. You are there with me. It's interesting. Just before Jesus went into the desert, Mark 1, God ripped open heaven and he said this, you are my son whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. That Jesus belonged to the Father. And I guess where maybe I would differ from a lot of the sort of self-help things that are out there, I don't think we can do it on our own. I think we could succeed because actually we're made in the image of God. We're made to feel fragile. We're made to be human. We're made to let the light shine out. And it's not about who you're becoming. It's about whose you are. That's the key. You belong to God. You may have heard us say this before. There's a word that we use a lot in kintsugi. It's called flawsome. It means an individual who embraces their flaws and knows they're awesome regardless. You're flawsome, that you're loved, you're cared for. It's been such a privilege being with you today.